This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
At least one politician in Europe is fearlessly raising an alarm about the kind of society European elites want to create, one that is rejected unanimously almost by European citizens. In a speech yesterday kicking off his party's bid for re-election, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban warned that politicians in Brussels, Berlin, and Paris are going to destroy Western civilization with their enthusiasm for mass migration. Left unchecked, he said, Europe could end up with a Muslim majority, while the continent's Christian culture would be blotted out. Orban is not crazy, actually, on a math level here. Hungary's population is below 10 million. Its birth rate is not high. It wouldn't take a huge wave of immigration from Muslim nations to overrun and eventually obliterate a culture that has existed for thousands of years. In America, that's considered a small point. Who cares? But if you've been there for a millennium, maybe you do care. Polls show that more or less most Europeans agree with that. Last year, majorities in Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, and several other countries said they wanted a total freeze on immigration from Muslim countries. Naturally, though, EU leaders denounce Orban as authoritarian. Hilarious. Considering the source, their motto effectively is, do what we tell you, or you hate democracy. How's that for Orwellian?
Well, Tucker last night talking about the prime minister there. I mean, that's incredible. And this is, you know, what we've been talking about as we continue to, exercise conversation and thought to play this out to see how this works. I mean, it's the America of the 21st century. What kind of America do we want? This country was based on the rule of law. It was based on consideration of all parties. And when things get out of order and it sides with one over the other, it is at an expense. And now here in this country, the general population is paying for all these political interests that are not necessarily in the best interest of the greater good and of the majority of its citizens. Because I'm not sure how you justify what politicians have been doing, you know, to us, law-abiding citizens, by promoting illegality and saying, you know, it's okay to have a sanctuary city. It's okay to accommodate an infraction of our laws in our government. Somehow it's acceptable in their way. And as Tucker says, that, if you don't go along, then somehow you're a threat to democracy. It's like, wait a minute, you're the threat to democracy. This is what happens, is that they seem to, the progressives and those on the left who are pushing this agenda, they would appear to be projecting their issue, whether it has to do with Trump. I mean, it's all consistent. You know, if you think about this, even with some of the issues that Donald Trump has been dealing with them on, so often we find out after the fact that Donald Trump wasn't all that wrong. But, of course, the media is not going to say, Donald Trump, maybe he used the wrong words in talking about how his building there in Manhattan was being wiretapped. Oh, you know, that's, how ignorant that he would use the word wiretap. So he was surveilled in some form or fashion by the FBI. Oh, no, that was incredulous. There's no way that happened. But then they find out that, well, maybe that was the case. And, of course, as the drama continues to unfold, we find more and more and time and again what Donald Trump has said is more right than wrong. In a little bit of an emotional challenge for some of these progressives who have been able to get their way and had a lot of cover under the Barack Obama administration. And now the people are saying, they're asking questions and going, wait a minute, we've been down this road before. And it's not a fun ride. And you continue to do these things, and they're unacceptable. They do not promote the greater good of we the people. So you got to keep asking the questions and stand up for that which you believe in, and know that the basis of all this is our U.S. Constitution, where the power is with you, we the people.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour, America. It's always great to have you along with us, and I've been talking about this for quite a while. I've been looking forward to this opportunity to have Ed Conard on with us to talk about the economy. Ed, of course, is a New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former partner with Bain Capital. Ed, Happy New Year. Good to have you with us, sir. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Bill. Happy New Year to you.
Well, I think it's important, Ed, for, you know, with all the fake news and stuff that's going out there, mainstream America is getting confused by, as I say, the fake news, this anti-Trumpism that is out there relative to the economy. I mean, we just had a major tax reform bill and Jobs Act that was passed at the end of the year. We're told that come February, America is going to notice a discernible difference in their paycheck to the positive. So there's a lot of things looking up here, but yet you've got the naysayers and the anti-Trumpers countering everything and doing everything they can to block business and block the momentum and the winning that America seems to be on right now.
Well, if you look at the stock market, it's up 35% since the president was elected in November. So clearly investors and business executives who look forward into the future see a much more optimistic future than they saw prior to the Republicans gaining control of the government. The stock market was at about 14,000 for since 2014, in the last several years of the Obama administration, after it had a pretty tepid rebound from one of the severest recessions we've seen since the Great Depression. So, well, I agree with you that the media has done great or terrible, depending on your point of view, job of spinning the negativity here. I think that real investors see a lot more optimism than what the media certainly is claiming.
Well, you know, take a look at the GDP. President Obama never saw 2% GDP. They kind of laughed at Trump when he first said that, hey, look, I anticipate 3-5% GDP, and they, you know, probably not in your first 4 years would you be able to accomplish 3%. And inside of the first year, he's had back-to-back 3% plus GDP.
Yeah, I think the forecast for productivity are almost a full percentage point, were almost a full percentage point below where they had been historically. You remember, before the Obama administration, productivity grew at 2.5% a year, every year for two decades. It raised to 3% briefly in the first 2 years of the Obama administration, but after the Democratic Congress got done passing all of the regulations and such that they passed, productivity fell to almost 0.5% a year, close to 0.5% a year, and never recovered from that level. So the idea that we can't recover back to something close to the 2.5% we were at before, if we're able to roll back much of the thicket of regulation that was put on in those 2 years when the Democrats controlled all three branches of the government. I think that's the place, by the way, where the reason why the stock market is so optimistic about the future, it's not just the tax bill. It's also the rollback in regulations, which stifles the innovation and entrepreneurialism and risk-taking, which is required to get back to the kind of robust growth rates that we saw for three decades prior to the Obama administration.
Why are Democrats so stubborn to ignore the empirical evidence like that, Ed?
Well, I think whatever party's not in power always wants to say how badly the economy's doing because that's their pathway back into power. So I don't think they want to admit any ground on this tax deduction. We had a 35% corporate tax, one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. All of our companies are putting their intellectual property overseas and paying foreign governments low tax rates because they can't compete with the high U.S. tax rates. It's ridiculous to not collect those taxes from the foreign governments, for example, for ourselves. So the idea, and I think the Democrats and Republicans both agreed that the corporate tax rate, for example, needed to be drastically reduced from where it was. Now, the Democrats proposed 28%. The Republicans ultimately passed 21%. But you'd think it was the end of the world, 21% versus 28. Clearly, I think there isn't an economist who wouldn't believe that 21 is better than 28 and 15 is better than 21. So I think when they go out into the media, they're simply selling their side of the vote. They're not really trying to get at the truth about the underlying economics and what's best for America and the country.
And the unfortunate part of that, Ed, is if we had their participation, if we had bipartisan participation on this, what level could we be operating on?
Yeah, you would think we could at least get back to the two or three decades we had prior to the Great Recession, which is about 2.5% productivity growth every year. I think every tenth, according to the Congressional Budget Office, every tenth of a point increase in productivity produces $275 billion of tax revenues over the next 10 years.
Right.
And so we could see a 1 point increase, which would be twofold more than the deficit that's projected to be caused by this tax cut. If we just get small increases in productivity gains, it pays back the entire tax cut.
Well, Ed, I look at it from a standpoint, I've always looked at things this way in terms of potential productivity. I call it the law of capacity. I believe that there is a law of capacity in play here if you really stopped and looked and analyzed the level of productivity potentially that is within the borders of this great country of ours. It's been pent up over the years and it's unleashing like a madman because it's just been, held back for so long. And now with these regulations coming off, I think originally President Trump said for every new one we were going to take out two, and the latest report said we're taking out as many as 22 regulations for every new regulation. So obviously there was a lot of low-lying fruit here when it came to regulations, and look what's happening already, the encouraging news that we're getting not only from the stock market but from unemployment, black unemployment all-time low since they've been keeping the numbers, Hispanics down under 5% unemployment, and these are good jobs. We're not talking picking strawberries here, Ed.
Yeah, and especially now when if you continue to get growth while labor is tight, while unemployment is low, then that's all going to translate into wage increases, which is the very thing that we haven't seen for the last 10 years. We've seen almost no wage increases at all because there's been such amount of slack in the labor market. So when you get to this point where not only is unemployment low, but the economy continues to grow and we get the productivity gains because people are now beginning to make investments again, what you end up getting at this point is increases in the wages, which is what I would expect that we're going to see in the next several years, a much more rapid increase in wages than we saw in the past, because we can't get too much more of an increase in employment given how tight employment is becoming. And what happens is we reorganize, as you point out, from low-paying jobs to high-paying jobs to higher-paying jobs to even higher-paying jobs as the employers are scrambling to fill the jobs that the demand that they have. And so then what do? They start investing in capital, and other innovations that increase the productivity of labor. And what that does in the long run, this is one of the tightest correlations in economics, is the correlation between increases in productivity growth and increases in wages in the economy. Ultimately, that is the only driver of wage increases.
Yeah, without a doubt. More from Ed Conard right after this. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say?
18 minutes after the top of the hour, we're talking with Ed Conard. In a sense, when we first had this conversation, this idea to have Ed on and to dedicate this full hour, with all due respect, I didn't want to insult anybody. I just wanted to review the economy and make it, one of these approaches of Econ 101 for morons. And I say, that with due respect and laughingly at ourselves, because I think that we've been given a lot of false information that has been politically motivated. And I wanted Ed to come on to give us an unbiased perspective and walk us through some of these things. Ed, when it was first suggested with these tax cuts, the Democrats went absolutely over the top on this deal, said all these corporations are going to take this money and they're just going to put it in their pockets and pay themselves dividends. Boy, were they shocked when all these companies started handing out bonuses even before the ink was dry on the signing of the tax bill, right?
I think people anticipate not only faster growth and higher profits, but I also think they expect higher return on investment because of the lower tax rates. And when you get a higher return on investment, you're going to see more investment, more productivity gain, more wage gain, more growth that comes from that. And I think if you look back over the last administration, one of the main reasons why we had such a slow recovery from the recession, and I think this is widespread agreement on this, is that there's been very low investment relative to GDP, relative to the past. And what we're beginning to see is a kick up in investment and a kick up in productivity, which will ultimately lead to a tight labor market and higher wages. And you see that reflected in the stock market. That's why the stock market is so optimistic about what the future looks like, up 35% since President Trump was elected.
Exactly. Well, Ed, don't you think part of it is we missed a little bit of an opportunity? We made some mistakes, and we needed to pay for those mistakes. And I thought with the government bailout that it short-circuited that opportunity. It's like, with our kids. When our kids make mistakes and they find themselves overdrawn, we're really quick to, write up their bank account instead of them feeling the pain of their poor choices that they made. I think a little bit of that dynamic, that might be naive, but I just feel that a little bit of that dynamic was lost, even though it was a big scale, government situation and our entire economy at risk here.
The only thing I would say in this is I do think that what ends up happening is in a recession and a depression, people get scared, and so they stop taking risk. You don't see the entrepreneurialism. So what you'd like the government to do at that time is roll back on regulations, reduce taxes, increase the return on investment, pull back on the attack on, say, the banking system, even though you might think the attack is warranted. When you do that, people rein in their horns, they see more risk, and so they take less risk. So I do agree with you that there is this sort of cleansing aspect to the recession where a lot of the investment that occurred in the boom, it needs to be retracted and slowed down, and you do have to learn from your lessons, and the economy does need to reorganize and go in a slightly different direction. But what you don't want to do is serve the economy punishment, and we did to a certain extent punish Wall Street, to punish the banks. I'm not saying that some of it wasn't warranted, but I think when you pile on the regulations, when you put on the taxes, when you become anti-business in your rhetoric, what you're going to find is business that was already pulling in their horns, investors and entrepreneurs who were already pulling in their horns are going to pull them in even more. And it's going to take that much longer to get back to where you were prior to the recession when everybody was eager and optimistic about taking the risks that grow the economy.
Well, Ed, you and I talked about this last time. People who have not been in business for themselves, I mean, you can tell right away because of the comments they make that they really don't understand that the lifeblood of the individual and the company is the company itself. People, have done everything. They've borrowed money from relatives, second mortgages to have businesses, and they're going to do everything they can to keep that business alive, for the most part.
And I think that sometimes the rhetoric gives a false impression there. To even think like with all the money coming in potentially into corporate America, that they would be so greed-oriented as opposed to what you just said right now, and that is that there is this kind of built-in regulator to businesses that is directly connected to the survival of the company.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was with my family, my 14-year-old daughter, on vacation. We were at a hotel, and my daughter said, "Geez, this hotel must make a lot of money. Look at how many people are here, and they're charging for everything, et cetera." But what she doesn't see is the competition that hotel faces from all the other hotels and all the other ways that you can spend your money. And so what she doesn't see are two things that I think we who are very pro-business see. One is every business is in the business of serving customers. They're in the business of serving their fellow man. And those customers are demanding, and there are other businesses right there ready to satisfy those demands. So if you don't up your game day after day after day, you're going to be driven out of business by the competition. And I think the people who are very critical of business, they don't see the pressure that competition puts on businesses. They think, oh, business wants to raise their prices, they can just raise their prices. They want to make a profit, just charge more for the service. They don't see the competition that's there to rein those businesses and hold them in check. So my daughter doesn't see that. And the second thing she doesn't see is how hard that business is working to serve their fellow man as customers. And if they stop doing that for a second, they have to run hard just to stay in place. They have to make investments, because when their competitor makes an investment and their competitor has an innovation that lowers their cost, they had better step up and do the same thing, or they're going to be out of business. So often they're making investments and they don't even get any return from the investment. The customer captures almost all of the value from investment. The company becomes more productive. It makes the product at a lower cost. The person who doesn't see the competition says, "Oh, look at how that ruthless company is working their employees even harder. Why aren't they more generous? Why aren't they more careful?" But the truth is that they're racing to try to stay up with competitors who have done the same thing. And the beneficiary of that is not the investors. It's the customers who are being served by those investors.
Right. And when you live in a free market system like we have in this country, it makes a lot of sense. It heals a lot of sins and ailments along the way. I guess maybe that's why I hold so much to the free market system.
Yeah, I think the if you look over time and said, what is it that's made all of us prosperous, not only the richest people but the poorest people in the United States, compared to, say, 200 years ago? I mean, it's all been created by free enterprise. It's all been created by business. It's all been created by commerce. Almost none of it was created by government or created by charity. Some of it was.
Yes.
But the vast majority of it, 80%, and we have come from, you know, abject poverty for the richest people 200 years ago to today, where the poorest people are richer than some of the richest people were in the 1930s. All of that's been done by innovation, by competition, by investment, by businesses competing with each other to serve customers more effectively than they did the day before.
So, Ed, you're telling me when Barack Obama told America that, all the entrepreneurs in this country didn't build it, that it was really Central Command that did that, he was just pulling our leg? Is that what you're telling me?
You know, I once had dinner with Lee Trevino, the golfer.
Oh, I love him.
And, and I said something about President Obama saying that you didn't earn it. And he said, "Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure I earned every dollar that I ever made." He said, "I started off as a caddy in a golf club, and I stood out there in the rain practicing my golf every day. Nobody put one stroke in that golf game except for me."
Exactly.
Boy, that's 100% true.
That kind of sums it up. More from Ed Conard as we take a short break. Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us.
Allergy sufferers? The name's Nigel. I'm a well-educated owl, therefore well-versed in the difference between what's wise and unwise. Talking like a pirate on a job interview. Unwise. Using Zizol for 24-hour relief of your allergy symptoms? Quite wise. In a clinical study, 90% of allergy sufferers who use Zizol felt powerful 24-hour relief after just one day. So for continuous allergy relief, don't be unwise. Be wise all. Take Zizol. Use as directed.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, just the way you like us, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Ed Conard is with us, New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, and former partner with Bain Capital. Ed, I want to give you some time to really break this down in terms of econ and what the economy and what people are missing here because of the politicization of the economy, you know, for political purposes only, because it is not squaring up with what people are seeing out there, whether it has to do with the stock market, unemployment, getting more money coming February. They're going to see more money in their paychecks. But meanwhile, you've got CNN and the other people that are so anti-Trump oriented putting out a different report that is confusing people.
Well, I do think we expect about $2,500 on average per family as a result of this tax cut. I think, you know, what's interesting is you can cut the tax cut into two pieces, and this is what always makes me laugh about the liberal argument of tax cuts. Of course, there's the corporate tax cut where we've lowered it from 35% to 21%. I think if you look at all the economic analysis, almost all of the growth in the economy comes from the corporate tax cut. Mm-hmm. Then you have the middle class and the tax cut, and the wealthy tax cuts are the personal income tax cuts, which I think are substantially larger. I think most economists would forecast not nearly as much growth coming from that, although it puts money into people's pockets who haven't seen a raise for the last 10 or 15 years. So I think it's critical in that regard. But what I find hilarious is They're very critical of the deficits, which are created by the individual tax cuts that are going to put money into people's pockets, and they argue that the tax cuts aren't going to pay themselves for themselves. But if they were to break the argument into two and say, what do you think of the corporate tax cut? I don't think there's many people who wouldn't agree that the corporate tax cut's going to produce more revenue than it costs.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be for the corporate tax cut, which they're actually against as Democrats, and they'd be against the middle-class tax cut, which they'd be for, I think, as liberals. So mm-hmm. they combine the two and then you know, make an argument about the combination not being able to pay for themselves when, in fact, they're pulling a little, with the three-card Monty.
Yes.
Where they're having you look one direction
yes,
instead
exactly.
of the other. They're actually saying, look, we won't get enough growth from the corporate tax cut in order to cover the cost of the middle-class tax cut. But left to their own devices, they would gladly take the middle-class tax cut, and they would kill the corporate tax cut. Anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't make any bit of sense. But like with Ronald Reagan, the proof was in the pudding. It took a little bit of time, but then it was realized. And what amazes me, Ed, is how we abandoned that policy, those policies that gave us a great run and great GDP.
Yeah, you know, it's hilarious because throughout the 1980s, you saw these articles about where's all the productivity gain that should have come from the information technology revolution. And then when they lowered the marginal tax rate in the 1980s, what you saw in the aftermath of that was an enormous increase in entrepreneurialism that led to the boom in the 1990s, which then the Democrats want to take credit for because President Clinton happened to be in power when the Internet was created. It was a little bit like creating the telephone, but all of that came in the aftermath of a lower marginal tax rate that substantially increased the amount of risk-taking and entrepreneurialism. It occurs slowly over time. And that's, I think, one of the things everyone's looking for the quick fix, but what you find is these things occur slowly and gradually, and they compound into very big differences over time. So, you know, Europe was growing faster than the United States through the early 1990s, into about 1992 or 1993 in terms of GDP per person. But since then, the U.S. has grown much faster than Europe has, and today our median incomes are 15 to 30%, depending on which country. But if you look at France, Germany, 15 to 30% higher our median incomes are than theirs because we've compounded gradually with a higher productivity rate over the last couple of decades, which has made an enormous difference.
Yeah. You know, to your point here, George Bush, when he turned over the reins to Bill Clinton, that was a legitimate thank you, George Bush, as opposed to today you got Barack Obama trying to claim some sort of credit for the economy.
Yeah, For me, I think it's hilarious when people say, well, the stock market rose more under President Obama than it has under President Trump. It's like, well, yeah, it was starting in the bottom of a recession, and it, you know, recovered as tepidly as any recovery we have seen since the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, we never got a rebound. We went down and then grew slowly off the bottom. Normally what happens is you go down, you bounce back up to normal, and then you get to grow at the normal rate. We haven't seen any bounce back in normal rate until the end of the Obama administration when the Republicans took control of both Congress and the presidency. And we saw an immediate 35% rise in the Dow, and that was off of a high that had been the high for since 2014. So it's not as though it was a rebound off the bottom. It was a 35% increase off the top of the market. If that
exactly.
isn't evidence that conservative economics are more valuable for this country and for the working man than Democratic economics. What other sign could we get inside of 1 year? I mean, you know, things take decades to unfold, but, you know, investors have grown extremely optimistic about the future of the United States and the world.
So you're telling me I can thank Obama because he's not here? Did I say that out loud? I thought I was just thinking that. Forgive me. You don't need to answer that. But I do want to ask you, one of the things that comes up over and over again is this counter argument about the trickle down economics. Would you address that?
Sure. First thing you have to recognize is you got to earn money in order to pay your taxes. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's funny. I had an article in the New York Times, and I said, you have to earn $5 to put a dollar in your pocket. You have to create $5 of value for your customer to put a dollar in your pocket. I said, nobody would disagree with that, but it's probably more like $20 that you have to create to put a dollar in your pocket. And then they got a liberal economist, Dean Baker, to say $20 for every dollar. That's ridiculous. It's more like $5 for every dollar. So, you know, exactly the number I said nobody would disagree with, $5. So all my calculations were done with $5. But my point is this. You have to go out and create $5 of value to put a dollar in your pocket so you can get taxed on that dollar. That's trickle up, not trickle down. Mm-hmm. I have to go out there and produce a lot of value for my customer, a lot more value that they capture than the value that I capture as an investor, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. So I have to put $5 in everybody else's pocket to put a dollar in my pocket, and then I get the privilege of paying taxes on my dollar. So you got to remember that income is trickling up to the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, ultimately, they're paying the taxes on those dollars. So I really do see it as trickle up, not as a trickle down. The second thing I would tell you is this, which is wages are highly correlated to productivity, and productivity is highly correlated to investment. If you want to tax investment, you're going to get less investment.
Mm-hmm.
So every economist, a liberal or conservative, would agree that putting a tax on investment is the most inefficient way to tax the economy. There are much more efficient ways to tax the economy, with a sales tax, for example, on consumption. What you'd see in that case is you'd see less consumption, more investment. Ultimately, what you want to do is get as much investment as you can possibly get, because that's going to drive up productivity, it's going to drive up wages, it's going to drive up growth rates. And part of the reason we need to drive up growth rates, don't forget, we have an enormous number of baby boomers who are going to retire.
Exactly.
They are going to demand to be paid. We need to grow the economy in order to be able to pay them. And when we're done paying them, we have to be able to defend ourselves against the Chinese, who are going to be bigger than we are in the future if they're successful. Maybe they won't be, but we ought to be concerned that they will be, because they're a billion people, twice our size, more than three times our size.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have to be able to defend ourselves after we get done paying the baby boomers. So just being able to grow is critically important to the long-term success of the United States. And the key to growth is entrepreneurial risk-taking, innovation, and investment. The more you tax those things, the less of those you're going to get.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you think on that for just a moment as we go to break. We've got more from Ed Conard as we wrap things up here. Stay with us. I'm Bill Martinez. We are live.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. Again, that's 800-211-8392.
This report is brought to you by the American Egg Board and the Egg Nutrition Center. February is American Heart Month, a perfect time to examine your dietary choices and determine if you are making the right decisions for your heart. You may not think of eggs as part of a heart-healthy diet, but this nutrient powerhouse is a perfect pair to whole grains, vegetables, and other heart-healthy foods. Decades of research have demonstrated that healthy adults can enjoy eggs without impacting their risk of heart disease. In fact, a recent study suggests eating one egg a day may reduce risk of stroke by 12%. Dr. Tia M. Raines, Executive Director at the Egg Nutrition Center.
Everyone loves the taste and convenience of eggs, and they should feel good about eating them, too. One large egg has varying amounts of 13 essential vitamins and minerals and high-quality protein, all for 70 calories. And don't toss the yolk. It contains most of the egg's nutrients, including choline, which has been linked to brain health.
For more information on eggs and an overall heart-healthy diet, visit eggnutritioncenter.org.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, coming at you fresh as we do every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Ed Conard, New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, giving us a remedial here on the economy and things that we need to know about. Ed, just before the break, you were mentioning China. They seem to be the boogeyman out there all the time, that they're breathing down our throats. They're going to take over the world economy. How real is the threat of China taking over?
Well, I think the threat. I think the threat's real. I think it's a long way away. I don't think it's 100% the case that they're going to take over versus the United States. But I think we have to remember they have a billion smart, hardworking, entrepreneurial people, and we have about 350 million of those people. So, you know, in the long run, they ought to be about three times our size. Now, the long run's a long way away. Because right now they're, the same size. Their economy slightly smaller than our economy, but there's three times as many people. So the people there are fairly poor relative to the people in the United States. You know, their average person is only about a third or less of the income of the United States. So they have a long way to go. Don't forget, though, they get to use all of our innovation, all of our intellectual property.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Right, yeah. Exactly. What they can't just copy, they steal. Mm-hmm. Do they have an advantage to being able? We blaze the trail, and they follow in our wake for half the cost. They absolutely do, and they have a lot of labor. It's low cost. You know, they can put a lot of people to work for $3 an hour. That's hard for us to compete with. So, do they have some inherent advantages? Sure, but ultimately, would they have to shift to a market-based economy to get the kind of innovation and entrepreneurialism that we have in the United States? In the long run, yes, but in the short run, I think their entrepreneurs see enormous growth and opportunity, and they're taking a lot of risk to try to start businesses to capitalize on that. So, I think you see a lot of thoughtful entrepreneurialism in China that is pushing their growth forward. So do I think we need to be concerned? Absolutely.
Yeah, but don't they have some things, some barriers there that are built into the cake in terms of it being all controlled by central command there? I'll take the free market any day
over some, you know, even though they're getting some breaks and, you know, robbing the marketplace of intellectual property and doing business the way they do. And I just, I don't know, in my experience, I found that the free market, the cream always rises. And, you know, you start putting Americans to the test, and they're starting to feel this competitive, you know, this competition is taking place. They're going to rise to the challenge. And I guess why I'm so bullish about the potential productivity of this country.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree with that. I think we have the capability to develop technologies and such that they have no ability to get to at this point in time. I think you have to worry about over the long run, can they eventually get there? I think, sure, slowly, over time. Do I think their central command and control is going to slow them way down? I do. But at the moment, an example of this would be, you know, we buy a lot of product from them, and that gives them a jump start that helps them grow. So what would I be doing if I was in charge? I'd be trying to push a lot of that purchasing out of China and into places like Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines, Vietnam, Cambodia, those places where they're a little smaller and a little bit easier for us to contain in the long run militarily than concentrating all of our purchases in China, which fuels their economic growth, fuels their military spending, and I think will ultimately create a difficult problem for us in the long run. But in the, you know, but would I bet on entrepreneurialism and the U.S. free enterprise system? You bet I would.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
There's no better place in the world.
Well, you mentioned the military implications, buildup of military islands there in the South China Sea, very aggressive, you know, getting some inroads into Pakistan, other areas without a doubt heading into the Middle East. You know, we've got to keep an eye on what China is doing, don't we?
Yeah, well, I think without a doubt, and I, you know, all the product that we buy from them, all the commerce, free enterprise that we give to them because their prices are low, I think gives them an enormous leg up on development. And if it were me, I'd be working on ways to try to push all that commerce into other, push it throughout Asia and throughout the rest of the world so that we can have better control over the military consequences of the success that our economy is creating for the rest of the world. It's our economy that pulls the rest of the world forward. Without the American economy,
exactly,
the Chinese growth rate would be what it has been for 50 years before we started buying everything from them.
Well, as we go into the final section of this final segment, Ed, you know, I want to focus on the forgotten man and woman. You know, America is on the rise. We're very optimistic and bullish about our productivity levels, and you know, with the tax cuts and that. Excuse me, just clear my throat here. What is your prescription? You know, for America right now.
Well, I think the opportunity that we are have squandered. And I'll say the Democrats have squandered it, and I fear the Republicans are going to squander it too, which is in our technological information-based economy, you need ultra-high skilled workers, technology workers, scientists, mathematicians, entrepreneurs, business people, the most talented people. And the constraints to growth in this economy is not so much capital investment, it's talent. And we have an opportunity, I believe, to go out and get the most talented people from the rest of the world and to bring them to the United States to accelerate our growth rate, to pay for our retiring baby boomers, to help build up our military, to produce jobs for the rest of our workforce. And I think that, you know, if you say the top 5% of the workforce is about 120 million full-time workers. That's about 6 million workers. We issue 1 million green cards a year, largely to low-skilled workers, overwhelmingly to low-skilled workers. If we issued 1 million green cards a year to the most capable workers in the world, we could potentially double our top 5% in the next 5 or 10 years. If we doubled the number of top 5% workers, we could potentially double the growth rate of the United States. And if we double the growth rate of the United States and held the rest of our workforce constant, we could potentially double the wages of the rest of our workforce. I think it's the only way we're going to get 3% growth. It's It's the only way we're going to pay off the retiring baby boomers. It's the only way we're going to compete with China in the long run. And so I think deregulation, lower taxes, those things can help, and they help a lot on the margin. But they are small in comparison to bringing more talent. Now, I would go out, and I'd work on our education system, and I'd be trying to get as many people through that system as I possibly could, because I think that's another critical area. I think we used to supply all the college graduates in the world, and so we were very wasteful about what we let people go study and finance and such. I mean, what we paid for people to study.
Exactly.
We need to make sure that we take our talented people and send them to school and teach them how to serve customers, grow the economy, create jobs for the rest of our fellow man. And then we need to supplement that by going out to the rest of the world. In Europe, there's not a kid in Europe, a 25-year-old kid, who wants to be in Europe.
Right,
who
exactly.
Can be working in the United States. At probably 50% higher wages and a much more interesting career. We could go and scarf the talent from the rest of the world and make America twice as strong as it already is.
Yeah, forget about being great again. We could be greater yet. And I agree with you. I loved it when you shared that concept with us the last time we talked, Ed. I think that that is a missing component. And it's really nothing new. It's what we did post-World War II, isn't it?
Yes, we did it our whole history. And I just think today we ought to be – we can bring anybody to the United States who we want. We ought to be very thoughtful about doing that. An example of this would be, you know, we need a lot of tax revenue to pay for the retiring baby boomers. A top 5% worker generates way more tax revenue than they consume in government services.
Yeah.
Any place a guy in the world is going to generate more tax revenue than he consumes in government services, more of that, please. I'll take another one of those guys.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, well, why not? I mean, after all, we've got people coming to this country. You know, Donald Trump announced that Mexico was not sending their best. Well, I'm not sure America is asking for the world's best. And, you know, to your point, maybe that's what we should be doing.
That's what I certainly think. It's a million green cards a year, and there's only about 6 million people at the top 5% who are driving all the technological innovation. And it's not just they're driving all the technological innovation, which is critical for this technological information-oriented economy. Mm-hmm. Not to say it's the only thing that matters. There are many entrepreneurs who start lots of businesses at the grassroots level, which are critically important to growing the economy as well. But there's also this piece where we do need the best scientists, the best mathematicians, the best managers of large businesses if we truly want to be as competitive as we possibly can be. And that's a unique set of skills. Which is different than the entrepreneurialism that's required to run a great restaurant or a great travel agency or many, many other businesses which are also absolutely critical to our success. But I do believe that in that case, in those jobs, we can train our people to be more effective at creating those businesses and those jobs. I think it's difficult when you say we need computer programmers who know some esoteric language that if you didn't learn it at 20, you're probably not going to learn it at 50.
Exactly.
We need to go get those 20-year-olds.
Well, without a doubt. Well, Ed Conner, again, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you being with us to break down the economy and some great ideas as always. How can people be in touch with you?
www.edwardconner.com. is my website. That's probably the best way. I also tweet a little bit, not a lot, because I'm too busy reading and trying to write to actually try to express myself in a brief number of words. But www.edwardconner.com, and you'll see far more of me than you'll ever want to see.
Well, I doubt that, but I always appreciate you having on. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ed. Appreciate it. Take care. Happy New Year.
No, thank you.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars. and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
One out of four.